Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff. And it's been a long time.
I know. I was just thinking about how we said we were just taking off the month of November. Obviously, we also took off the month of Christmas. I mean, December.
The month of Christmas.
We took off the month of December.
And you know... It really is my fault, everyone, so I'm so sorry. But the break was very helpful. I just needed to take some stuff off my plate for a second. Like, my plate had just gotten, like, buffet-level Golden Corral full in this way that was very unsustainable. And I was like, I have to, like, get my life together, and then I can come back. So thank you, Lauren. Thank you, audience.
But to be fair, I mean, if you don't already know, if we haven't talked about it enough, Felicia is a teacher and is working with kids all the time, is on all the time. So the last thing she wants to do is talk more with me and be very on. No.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, teaching, you know, teachers complain a lot about how hard teaching is. And you know what? I now understand why, because it's just really, it's not even like the teaching itself. Like, it's not being in the classroom with the kids. It's like, that's like maybe one third of the job. And the rest of it is just so many other things you didn't even know teachers were responsible for. And it's just like, what? It's just, it's so much. So yeah, I don't know. It's been an intense adjustment, but I feel like I'm now in a place where I can start to do things that I like to do outside of work again, which I think is important and healthy. So
That is true.
I'm very happy to like be having my hobbies again.
Yes. And I started that to point out the fact that she is a saint, and I know it's not easy, and I'm very proud of you for doing it and following your dreams and also taking care of yourself. So
thank you.
That's no need sweet. To apologize.
I was put on this earth to teach children how to do a jazz square. And that's why I'm here.
I love Anyways. It. We're going to have to at some point share some, I don't know if we're allowed to share content, but well, you should just see Something. Felicia's kids. They're stars.
Yeah,
they're That's adorable. All you need to know.
They're adorable. But yeah, so I guess recommendations are going to be confusing maybe in terms of the timeline that you're hearing this, but let's go for it anyway. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I was going to say, hopefully people are still talking about Christmas horror things, but I loved Violent Night. Have you seen it?
No, I got to go. I'm so excited.
You got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. You got to take Travis because I think he would also really love it.
Nice.
It's obviously David Harbour at his best. Incredible casting. I don't think it would be the movie it is without him. And also the villain, John Leguizamo. How do you say that?
Oh, I don't know.
He is so good, too.
I mostly just want to look up his face.
You would know him.
Leguizamo? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's so good in it. He's like,
awesome.
You know, kind of like the Grinch has like a reason for hating Christmas. It's so good. Nice. And then I also saw Joe Bigos' new horror movie. Did you watch it?
Interessante. I have not seen it yet, but the robots. Robot Santa.
Robot Santa. Christmas, yeah. Bloody Christmas is what it's called.
Was it epic?
It's probably what you would expect. It's like, you know.
Did you see VFW?
I actually never did, even though we went to that party that night around VFW. I never saw it, but
that's okay.
Christmas, Bloody Christmas. There's like a lot of amazing effects, some subpar acting and dialogue.
Yeah.
And the only critique I would say is like, and you kind of figure it out or you realize why they did this, but it's just a man pretending to be a robot.
No.
Yeah. Eventually.
It's just like Scooby-Doo.
So it's like, well, no, that's not like the punchline. I just mean like in how they're doing it in the movie is like he's just moving like a robot, but not quite doing it well enough for my taste.
Oh no!
And it's like sometimes there are really good shots where they like play this like, you know, mechanical sound effect, and he's moving, and you're like, okay, he's a robot, and then sometimes he just looks like a normal man. So that would be my biggest critique. Yeah. Yeah. But it's fun. And then the last one I was going to talk about is James actually got a screener link for Skinamarink, which is that one that's like kind of going around TikTok. Have you seen?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
I think it'll be out by the time this podcast is released, which is cool. But it's basically like these two children wake up in their house and their father is gone and like all the doors and windows are gone. It's super like experiential, or like it's very much like, I don't know, as if you're, you know, seeing like static on a TV.
Right, right, right. I mean, I'm looking at some pictures on the IMDb and it looks very interesting.
Yes, it will not be for most people. It's probably the opposite of Violent Night. Like, it's like zero fun, very slow, very artsy, very like the camera's pointed at the corner of the room and things are happening in a way that you can't see them. Like that annoying thing, but cool. I'm glad we watched it.
Those movies. It depends.
Yeah. I'm glad we watched it, but I don't know that it's like my favorite, but it's like a cool, I would say it's more like an experiment. Like, can we make a movie that's like this? But it's interesting and very unsettling.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll definitely check it out.
It would probably be a cool one for you to review if you ever get back into YouTube world.
And that's my other, you know, January goal is coming back to things I love. So coming back to podcasts, coming back to YouTube. Hopefully it'll happen.
It will.
But nice, nice. Was that the last one for you?
Yes.
Cool. I don't have that much to recommend, but I did want to talk about the Wednesday series. Did you finish it?
No, not yet. Oh, I know that's terrible.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. But
it's
actually
pretty long. Yeah,
surprised. That was my one critique of it, is that it does feel long to me. Like, it is, it's not the same addictive, bingeable quality that sometimes that a lot of shows like this that come out on Netflix have. But it does a lot of things right for me in terms of like the Addams Family and the Wednesday character. There's a lot I really loved about it. Like, Jenna Ortega is like one of my favorite little horror queens. You know, she's so young, but she can still be a queen. Horror princess, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah. But I love her portrayal of Wednesday. I love like how much like research and thought she put into the character. I love that they really focused on like reminding audiences that like Wednesday is like a half Latina character in the original TV show and the original comics the whole time, which is, I think, also like sort of a reason like I always connected with her, other than like I love spooky shit. It's like, yeah, my dad's like, you know, Hispanic, and then like, I don't know, and I was spooky, so it, like, it made sense. And I don't know. I thought that she just did a great job with it. And I liked all the other like characters. And my only critique really was that it was a bit long. And it wasn't, I guess it was violent.
Yeah.
So the trailer, the piranhas in the trailer and in the first episode, the dropping the piranhas in the pool with the boys, that is so like classic Wednesday to me, in terms of like her idea of fun. And I did like that they made her a much more well-rounded character, but I still wanted her to have more fun torturing people.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that.
That feels
exactly
real. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was still enjoyable. So yeah, that was that. And I love that her dance is going viral, or went viral.
Oh, it's so good.
It's just so
great.
I did
finally get to that episode. It's so good.
Yeah. And her like research on the dance moves. Like, she brought in Fosse. She brought in little dance moves that the original girl in the TV series did. Like, she really like, I don't know, she put so much thoughtfulness into it, especially for like a 21-year-old to like be putting this much thought into something. I really like her a lot.
And I feel like she does that. Yeah. I feel like she does that for all her roles, which I love.
Yeah. She's great. So, yeah, that's that. I was going to recommend a Christmas movie that is not a horror Christmas movie, but I just want to say it to you because, spoiler alert, everyone, we're recording this before Christmas. I'm so sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry. But if you need like just a little heartwarming Christmas movie that isn't too cheese balls, The Noel Diary on Netflix is very enjoyable. Did you see that pop up for you?
I don't know.
This guy, what's his name? Justin Hartley.
Oh, you'd recognize him if he's gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's basically like he plays an author that is like a famous, like, you know, women, it's like he writes thrillers that women love, which is like such a thing right now.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's like he goes home around the holidays, he meets a girl. It's, I don't know. It's good. It's good. It's not too cheesy. And it still gives some good holiday warmthy vibes. So I was just, that was really more for Lauren than for like necessarily our audience. But
I love that. Yeah,
it was a good one.
Well, I was going to say I liked the new Christmas Story too.
I got to watch that.
Christmas Story sequel, you should watch. I honestly think they did a cute job.
Nice. And I'm most excited to see Matilda when it comes out in a couple weeks.
Yes. I'm so ready. Me too. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good on recommendations.
No, I think that's probably it. I did rewatch the 2019 Black Christmas last night with a group of people and had a very enjoyable time. It was so funny. Like, especially like the last battle scene. I was like, this is a fun movie. Like, that's just what I was like, this is a fun movie. Like, I know it got so much aggressive hate when it came out and all this, but I it's enjoyable to me. So
I know, and you can go back and listen to our Black Christmas episode if you want.
That's right. That's right, Durbeck. But yeah, let's dive in. Let's go for it.
Awesome. I'm so sorry. I have one little side bit to start off.
Go.
So do you remember Sherry Papini, who was like the Gone Girl situation where she like told her husband and kids that she was kidnapped and she wasn't? And she like came back and so I have an update on her. They finally had her trial.
Oh my god! Tell me all about it.
I'm a little late to the game. Probably everybody already knows this, but it happened. I think it was October or like late September. But she was officially sentenced to 18 months in prison, and she will have to pay back $309,000 in restitution to the California Victim Compensation Board, the Social Security Administration, and the Shasta County Sheriff's Office and the FBI for losses incurred because of her lies. She did apologize for everyone she had hurt and lied to. You can like go watch. I think there's like a clip.
Did she say why
least.
She did it?
Not really.
Was it over a man or something? Like, was she trying to like leave another man? I thought that's what
Yes, she
it was.
Like basically like went and stayed with her. Either, I guess, like, maybe it was an ex-boyfriend or, like, a guy that she was seeing on the side. And then it seems like she went to, like, be with him, and then that wasn't working out. And so then she had to, like,
figure out how to get back to her family.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to me that I'm like, you thought you could get away with that?
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently.
Anyway.
That's so crazy. People are so crazy.
People are so crazy. I always like those stories because I'm like, I'm not that crazy. I'm pretty easy to be with.
Much less crazy than I thought.
Exactly. But this week for my story, I'm going to be covering a reincarnation story.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yes. This family who the little boy, they still believe to this day that he had, you know, a previous life. And I got most of my information from an episode of The Ghost Inside My Child, which is a whole TV series. So I might have to do some more of the stories. Yes.
That's great. That's so good to hear.
Lots of people believe that their child had a previous life. But the family was living in Madison, Wisconsin. And the mom was married pretty young and had her daughter. And then 18 years later, she had a son named Jamie with her new husband, which also cracks me up because, you know, James's family calls him Jamie, but this is spelled
which I learned at the engagement.
As Derek Boots is like, do you know Jamie? I said, who's Jamie?
You said, this is the wrong engagement party.
Wait, did we announce that on the podcast?
Oh, I guess not.
That you're engaged. That was too casual. Start over. Everyone, big news. What if I said it in the last episode and I'm just saying it again? It doesn't matter.
I can't remember if we recorded.
Lauren Harris is engaged. To be wed. In marriage. Till death.
Till death.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
To a wonderful man who got her a beautiful ring. And Aww. Everything is very beautiful. So it's very exciting.
You're so sweet. And Felicia Lobo turned 30.
And I turned 30. Which I actually thought I'd be like very ew about. But I'm feeling very confident about it for some reason. Like,
I love
that. And Travis
told
me. He said this is going to happen to me because he was like, I was scared of 30. And then the moment I turned 30, I got like so much like confidence in myself and where I am in life. And I feel like the exact same thing happened to me. It's like I turned 30. I'm like, oh, do I know some shit now? Do I sort of have my life together more than I thought I did? I don't know. So 30s okay.
You do.
It's gone.
You
well.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're killing it. But those are really our biggest announcements that we should have started
big announcements. With. Yeah, we probably should have started with that, but it's fine.
Where was I? So Jamie.
Jamie.
Happy child. But his name is spelled Jamey, which feels like a stupid way of spelling it. No offense. Sorry.
Never heard that one.
So Jamie was a happy kid, enjoyed everything. He was very easy. His sister, as I said, was 18 years older, and she was a forensic psychologist, which feels like a good person to be your older sister if you feel like you lived a past life. But she was in college when all of this stuff kind of started happening. So the first sort of instance was like, you know, this was like a family of swimmers. Everyone loved the water. They had a swimming pool. But Jamie would never go past the stairs. And if his mom took him out into the pool, he would just completely panic.
Like,
I know. Being begged to go back to the shallow end, always terrified of the deep water, like almost choking the person holding him, intense panic.
Wow.
And he hated the water, even though his entire family loved it. He never really had like a negative experience that would start this panic, anything like that. And that's like not, I guess, you know, as I said, his sister's a psychologist. So she's like talking a lot in this TV show. And she said, you know, that doesn't really happen. Like if your parents love the water, show you love the water, like kids will normally go that way. So it's kind of a weird thing. But when Jamie was 3 or 4, this is kind of the next thing that happened. He was trying to learn how to ride this small bike with his sister outside. And he started talking about seeing his mom ride a small bike when she was a child. He said, I saw mom ride her blue bike. And his sister said, you mean like you saw a picture? And he said, no, I looked down and saw her through the window. And his mom did have a blue 3-wheeled bike that she used to ride around the age of 5. She had never mentioned it to him. She didn't have a picture. And when the mom asked how he saw her and watched her, he said something like, you know, heaven has windows, mom.
Whoa. That's an intense thing for a child to say.
Right? But there were some other kind of weird things. He spoke with a slight British accent when he was young.
That's adorable.
That was funny. But he had a speech impediment, so when he started using the accent, they all kind of thought it was like related to that. But it was really when he started using different terminology and words that they started to really feel like it was strange. So instead of saying left and right, he would say port and starboard.
No.
They thought – yep. They thought maybe he like picked it up somewhere, heard it on TV. They still weren't like super weirded out or anything. They were like, interesting kid, but nothing that bad. When he was around 4 or 5, he started having night terrors, which I know I feel like we've talked about on the podcast. Like, my little brother used to have them, and they were freaking terrifying.
So scary.
So,
I feel like almost more scary for someone to see someone else having a night terror.
Yes, it's true, because they just wake up and are like, oh, had a bad dream. And you're like, you were screaming in your sleep.
Yeah.
So this kid would be fully asleep. Then they'd hear him just like start thrashing around, and then he would just go running down the hallway. He didn't look at people, couldn't recognize his surroundings. He always looked panicked. He was always looking for a way out, and he would sweat and cry and scream. And they always had to kind of like be aware and make sure he didn't fall down the stairs.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I'm like, maybe have him on the ground floor. I don't know. But his parents were obviously very concerned and started talking to his doctor about it. The doctor was like, this is all, you know, common and normal. He'll grow out of it. But they advised them not to wake him up when he was in a night terror, and just kind of to go through with it, you know, go through the experience with him, which I also feel like I've heard about sleepwalking. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're not supposed to like jolt them awake. They're supposed to like gently wake up.
Right.
But I don't know why.
I know, right? It's like, what's the problem?
I saw it in a movie. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So during these night terrors, he would normally talk about water and drowning. And eventually his mother, you know, figured that it had to be some kind of memory that he was having that was extremely traumatic, you know, that was like bringing up this memory of him drowning, or maybe something happened to him. And his sister, you know, was also kind of talking about how, from her psychology knowledge, she knew that these were pretty common, but still didn't change how scary they were. But one night, this is where it starts to get very weird for me, or very specific, I will say. One night when he was about 4 years old, his parents had gone out and they left him with a babysitter that night. And when they came home, they found out that he had watched the last half of the Titanic movie.
Okay.
So the parents were furious. What year is this
again?
That's a good question.
Because my brain says, so the second VHS?
Yes, I think so. I think that's literally what it is. But
it doesn't matter. I'm just making it funny.
I think it probably has to be like early 2000s, late 90s.
Okay, yeah.
Because so he's younger. Yeah. I looked up the guy. I'll get to it. But I know he's like slightly younger than us, but not by a ton. So he watched the second half of the Titanic. His parents were not happy. But the next day, he started drawing and painting pictures of the Titanic. And in the first 2 weeks of this like new obsession, he had drawn or painted probably 50 pictures.
Whoa.
So they have these in the TV show, and you can even like find them online some, but they're honestly very intense. They're like stick figures jumping off of the boat. Like they're really scary.
They're dark.
Yeah. Which like, I guess if I was 4 and I saw a Titanic, I would be scarred for life.
Yeah, they're sliding off the boat, holding on for dear life. It's scary.
It's scary. And the mom really thought that these pictures were just, you know, based on him seeing the movie, but it just didn't really go away, this obsession. Just like everywhere he went, on his notebooks at school, on placemats at restaurants, he would just keep drawing the Titanic over and over. Mm. And some of the drawings were also very detailed, like the boat itself, almost like they're done, you know, by an adult or someone older. They had, you know, a lot of the time they would have all the levels of the ship. One had over 100 windows that he had drawn on the ship.
What? Wow.
And one, this is the craziest one. One was the ship sort of like cut in half, like, you know, like a dollhouse where you could like see the inside. And so you could see all the rooms in the ship, and he just really knew the ship and knew how to draw it when seemingly all he had seen of it was watching the movie once.
Wow.
And he was particularly distraught over the people in the boiler room dying first.
Ugh.
Like, he felt somehow that it was his fault that they were trapped. And this is like kind of when his family was just starting to get more and more creeped out, because he was starting mm-hmm. to just like talk about the accident in more detail, talking about how like there were mistakes that were made. He kept saying like we cut corners and that the accident shouldn't have happened, which is all scary, I will say. Yeah. I will say, like, while I was like listening to this and thinking about it, there is, and again, we'll get to this more in a second, but like there is that scene where the architect of the ship is talking to Kate Winslet and he says like similar things to that.
Oh.
Like we cut corners there, you know. Yeah. So maybe that's part of it. But he said, you know, the men in the boiler room should not have been trapped, and he would cry about it and he would be very upset. And he was just obsessed with what had happened and what happened to the people, and kind of had this like, I'm responsible for it, which was really freaking his family out. So his mother, this is another thing that I always feel like is part of the story. His mother had grown up believing in reincarnation. So she didn't shut him down. You know, she was, which I'm not saying that you should shut down your kid, but I feel like if it's in the parent's head, that's like, I do believe in reincarnation, tell me about your past life, like mm-hmm. all of that can kind of lead a kid. Yeah. So she started collecting the things that he said. She started writing in a journal and started to believe that he was on the ship and that he was now reincarnated. And when he was 5, he like started telling his mother similar, you know, just kind of similar things about the building of the ship. Like they used iron instead of steel and that was wrong. And he said, like, when the ship hit the iceberg, the emergency doors trapped everyone in the boiler room. And so, yeah, his mom was just kind of fully on board from when he started talking about this. Mm. I will say his sister was totally a skeptic when he started. She just felt like he was obsessed with the movie. But after he started sharing details, she started to think that maybe it was, you know, maybe there was some truth to it or something weird going on. Mm-hmm. And so he would always, this is kind of another like just weird detail, he would always draw 4 smokestacks on the ship, but only 3 had smoke coming out of them. And this would be in every single one of his drawings. And so when they asked him why that was, he said it was a dummy stack. It's just for show. They only needed 3, but thought that 4 would look more impressive. Mm. So that to me is like a weird thing that I don't really know why he would know that or share that. So this is again where I don't know how I feel about this, but it seems like at this point, the family sort of just like jumped into the deep end with all of this. Yeah. So his mom didn't want to discourage him from talking about it. So they eventually got him a Titanic CD-ROM game to play. And like, I know, really just, if this is traumatic for you, let's just
give
keep going.
More of it.
Yep. So the concept of the game is to find clues on the ship. I don't know if you – I like when they were showing it on the TV series, I had like some weird memory of like playing a game kind of similar. So I don't know if it was that. But it's basically like looking around the ship, trying to find clues to like stop the ship from sinking. And it is like the point of view that you're on the ship. So it's like, you know, your little camera is like walking through the ship. And it'll give you specific directions like – go to the captain's quarters. And one of the times that it said that, he just started very emphatically saying like, go port, go port. And, you know, his family's like, his sister, I think, was with him at the time, was like, why don't we look around? Why don't we explore? And he just kept saying, go port. And so she went with it and it took her, you know, exactly where they needed to go. And seemingly he knew the layout of the ship and knew where these rooms were with no preparation at all. And that's when his sister was just totally freaked out. She was like, even if he had seen a map from above or like, you know, some knowledge of it, you wouldn't really know unless you would like being in like the point of view part of it. Like it's like you wouldn't know how to navigate the ship in that way. And so she started to feel like maybe there's, you know, this was like another thing that really sold her that something was going on. So over this time, it was probably about 2 years that he had this, you know, intense obsession over the Titanic. They started like the family started trying to do research because they thought maybe if like they could figure out who he was on the Titanic, it would somehow help him deal with it, which I also just like, I don't know that I would have, I don't know. I can't, like, I feel like my parents would never like go more into it, but maybe it's a good thing. So they were researching to see if they could, you know, give him some closure. But after some research, who would they think he is except one of the ship's architects, Thomas Andrews, or as we know him, Victor Garber in the Titanic movie.
Oh, okay.
And so Thomas Andrews had designed several ships, and it was his habit to go on the maiden voyage of the ships that he helped design and build. But famously, like Victor Garber in the movie, he decided not to get on the lifeboard on the Titanic and or on the lifeboat, sorry, with the Titanic and went down with the ship. So he was the main designer, and he was, this is all true, was fighting with J.P. Morgan, who financed the building of the Titanic, and they fought over not having enough lifeboats and trying to, you know, it seems kind of classic with trying to get something done where, you know, they weren't being as careful as they could have been. And Thomas Andrews wanted to use steel, but iron would be cheaper and faster. And supposedly, or not supposedly, fact, the iron became brittle in the freezing temperatures and was another reason that the ship broke apart. So the fact that this little boy was saying, like, we used iron, we should have used steel, you know, it fits with what Jamie was saying. And they, again, kind of decided to double down on this, and the family decided to purchase tickets to a Titanic exhibit when it came to town. And they thought maybe if he was, you know, exposed to things that were there, that were actually on the ship, something else would click. And when they got there, there were so many artifacts, and he was studying every single piece on display and just, you know, taking his time. And at some points, it just became so intense for him. He started shaking. He was almost breathless. It doesn't seem like anything, you know, specifically happened there or that he remembered anything distinctly there. But after this, Jamie had what his mother calls the death dream. So he'd been having these night terrors, but this was one night that his mother was home alone with him. And she was watching television. He was asleep upstairs. And all of a sudden, she heard this bang on his bedroom wall. And it was just like this repeatedly, like, bang, 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 bang. And so she ran to his room, and Jamie was up on all fours on his bed. He was staring at the floor and almost convulsing. He was shaking so hard. But before she could decide, like, what to do or how to handle it, he just started, like, screaming in this very scared voice, "She's going down." And it didn't sound like his voice. It sounded like a man. And so the mom started crying. She called her husband, but they just didn't know what to do. And they clearly thought it had been brought about by the exhibit and seeing it all in real life. But pretty much he just, like, went to sleep after that dream. And after that night, he just slowly stopped talking about it. So he'd go, like, a week without talking about the Titanic, and then longer and longer. And his mom really feels like he just had to go to this exhibit, fully experience that memory in his dream about the ship going down. And then once he did, he was able to move on, which just feels wild to me.
Yeah. It's also hard to say whether, like, all this was helpful or whether they just, like, traumatized a child for no reason and, like, scared the shit out of him for something he was just naturally scared of. I know.
And it's kind of interesting because after this, it just, like, seems like he became a normal kid and was okay. Mm-hmm. And now, even as an adult, like, he remembers the memories of the Titanic like they are real memories. Like, he can recall things from that past life, supposedly. But he said, "The Titanic is as familiar as my house growing up to me." He likes to believe that he was Thomas Andrews because obviously he's, like, a noble man who went down with the ship.
Yeah.
But now he's just kind of at peace with it all. And he believes in reincarnation. He believes in past lives. And kind of interesting, like the time of the TV show, he was studying design at a technical college in Wisconsin, which he was, you know, saying he was Thomas Andrews, the architect before. So him doing design, I think, is obviously linked. But he doesn't feel like he, you know, he doesn't like carry the guilt with him anymore as he feels like he did when he was little. But the craziest thing is I was able to find him on Facebook. Oh. And yes. And he lives in New York. He's like a total design background. He honestly has like a pretty good resume and a really cool website and portfolio. So seems like he's doing great. But I wanted to look it up because I was like, what happens after I grow out of this?
Love that extra bit of Facebook stalking. That's amazing. Especially if he's like younger than us. It's like, yeah, he's like his whole life has been documented via internet because, you know, when he was born, that's freaking crazy.
So that's the story of Jamie. But I'm glad that he's doing well.
Me too, Jamie. It's great to hear you're doing well. if you're listening to this. That's a wild story. I mean, I love a reincarnation story. I know last time we talked reincarnation, I talked about like my brother saying he like was missing his bifocals and stuff when he was little. It freaked out my parents. But they very much were of the mind of like, we're not going to ask him about it. He can talk about it if he wants to talk about it, which sounds like a very different response than
I know. That's why I'm like, what if they had been like,
but I would be curious. On the Titanic? Yeah, I feel like I would be like a bad curious parent. I'd be like, tell me more. Tell me more. Was it like, tell me more.
Tell me about heaven.
Tell me about heaven and its windows. That's amazing. That's a great story, Lauren. I loved it.
Awesome. Hey guys, this week got a little lengthy, so we decided to split it into two episodes. I guess we had a lot to say after being on break so long. You'll hear Felicia's story next week, but until then, we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares. Bye.